From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, July 2nd, 2018. And on this day, Governor Paul LePage has unsurprisingly vetoed Medicaid expansion funding. We'll look at how we got here. And we'll look at some of the governor's other more than 20 vetoes today. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Maine Republican Governor Paul LePage today vetoed many bills, including a funding proposal for the Downeast Correctional Facility, a bill to maintain pay levels for certain direct care workers, and one to provide some increase in pay for others that provide services for Maine seniors and people with disabilities. We will hear more on those in a moment. But first, let's look a little bit more closely at one of those vetoes of a bill to fund Medicaid expansion, which voters approved 2 years ago. That veto was unsurprisingly delivered on the same day that some 70,000 people may be newly eligible for MaineCare, the state's Medicaid program. But the LePage administration has resisted implementation of the expansion, prompting a recent court ruling that orders him to submit an application to the federal government. As Steve Missler reports, expansion supporters are urging eligible Mainers to ignore the legal and political uncertainty and apply for benefits right now.
Under the new law, Mainers earning less than $16,600 a year or a family of four earning less than $34,000 a year could be eligible for Medicaid coverage. But because the state hasn't taken any steps to actually enroll people in the program, the Department of Health and Human Services may not be able to approve applications. But Kathy Kilrain Del Rio says that should not deter eligible Mainers.
The Department of Health and Human Services must begin to take applications, and it will.
Kilrain Del Rio is a policy analyst for Maine Equal Justice Partners, the group that led the ballot initiative that voters approved last year. During a press conference at Greater Portland Health, she urged Mainers who think they're eligible for Medicaid to fill out the 10-page application.
The sooner people apply, the sooner they can get coverage.
But just how soon is a mystery. The governor, who has beat back numerous attempts to expand Medicaid in the legislature, has done nothing to implement last year's referendum law. The federal government pays for over 90% of the cost for expansion coverage, but LePage has repeatedly said he can't implement the law until the legislature approves the estimated $50 million a year it's projected to cost the state. Last week, the legislature passed a $60 million funding bill, but LePage vetoed it on Monday, fulfilling a promise he made during his radio address, in which he described the proposal as a gimmick pushed by Democratic House Speaker Sarah Gideon.
It's just another move by Speaker Gideon to look like they're funding Medicaid expansion, but they aren't.
LePage says the bill relies on one-time funding when money for ongoing costs is needed. But he's also indicated that he'll veto just about any other funding mechanism that lawmakers could pass. And supporters of Medicaid expansion have so far been unable to muster enough votes to circumvent the governor. In the interim, the LePage administration has been sued by Maine Equal Justice Partners and several would-be Medicaid recipients in an attempt to force him to implement the law. Confusing the matters more is that LePage's attorneys have argued that he can't implement the law until the legislature approves a funding bill. A Superior Court judge ruled last month that LePage has to implement the law, but the governor's attorneys have appealed to the Maine Supreme Judicial Court. Maine Equal Justice Partners attorney Charles Dingman said Monday that the oral arguments scheduled for later this month have nothing to do with the push to enroll potential Medicaid recipients now.
People applying for care is something that should happen because people need the coverage for the care. It's not a litigation strategy.
Supporters say applying for benefits now will help ensure that Mainers who qualify for coverage will eventually get it, and potentially get retroactive coverage if the political and legal disputes continue until LePage leaves office next year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
All told, as we've heard, Governor LePage today vetoed more than 20 bills passed by lawmakers in special session last month, and more are sure to follow. Mal Leary joins me now from the State House to talk about a few of those bills. Mal, that seems like an awful lot of bills. Which ones are the most significant?
Well, Nora, it is a lot of bills, but it's not his record. The record was set back in July of 2015 when he sent down 65 vetoes in one day. About the bills that we just got, probably the most significant are the money bills. We knew he was going to veto Medicaid expansion. He's done that before, I believe, 6 times. And he said he would last week when I spoke with him about the vetoes. He also told us that he was going to be vetoing the appropriations bills that deal with direct care workers for seniors and the disabled and reduce some of the waiting lists for services. He says he agrees in principle that that should be done, but he still vetoed the bills because he disagrees with the way the legislature did it. He argues the minimum wage increase approved by the voters is driving what he calls a crisis in such services. And once again, he's urged the legislature to slow down the increase in the minimum wage, not repeal it, but slow it down, because he says that would then bring all these numbers into line and wouldn't cause a fiscal crisis for the next legislature. That idea has been rejected by House Democrats, even though it has drawn support from Senate Republicans. What complicates all of this, Nora, is that part of this money is to just keep pay for these workers where it is right now and not be decreased, because the 2-year state budget only funded a pay increase for 1 year, and that's the budget year that ended over the weekend. So this has a lot of support. The Appropriations Committee unanimously supported these bills. There was little opposition in the legislature, so it's quite possible that these money bills will be overridden when lawmakers return to the Capitol, we believe, sometime next week.
Okay, more parliamentary fun. So it is clear, then, that some of these vetoes were expected, even though lawmakers passed the bills.
Oh, absolutely, Nora. For example, besides the Medicaid expansion that we talked about, the governor sharply criticized lawmakers for supporting continued funding for the Down East Correctional Center that he virtually closed earlier this year. He calls it antiquated, unnecessary in his veto message. He says it should not be continued to be open. He doesn't want that money spent. And I'm pretty sure lawmakers expected that that veto was coming. Another bill called for a high-level state group called the Substance Abuse Disorders Cabinet, aimed at coordinating efforts to curb substance abuse. And while that sounds useful on its face, the governor doesn't like it. He doesn't see it that way at all. He calls the measure an unfunded mandate and unneeded because there's already coordination on all of these issues. So that was the thrust of his veto message on that bill.
Are you expecting more?
There's certainly going to be more vetoes coming. There are still dozens of bills on his desk that he has yet to act on, and you can be sure there'll be more vetoes. For example, as the governor has pointed out clearly, anything that's got a price tag, he's going to veto. So stay tuned, Nora. Expect more vetoes before the week is gone.
All right, that's political correspondent Mal Leary. Thank you, Mal.
Thank you, Nora.
Senator Susan Collins is once again in the spotlight over the Supreme Court nomination of President Donald Trump. She seemed to take a harder line yesterday on the issue of abortion rights and the Supreme Court. She told CNN's State of the Union,
"I would not support a nominee who demonstrated hostility to Roe v. Wade, because that would mean to me that their judicial philosophy did not include a respect for established decision."
Last week, a Collins aide told the Portland Press Herald the senator would not apply any ideological litmus tests. But she also said Collins would focus on a nominee's respect for precedent, the basis for her remarks yesterday. President Trump has said he'll name his new Supreme Court nominee next Monday. As the tourist season really starts to get underway, Portland City Council is working on a proposal that would levy a fee on new hotel rooms to support affordable housing in the city. The proposed ordinance and the council's housing committee would charge a fee of $5,000 per new room being built now or in the future. The proposed ordinance is the result of a study that finds new hotels being built in Portland much faster than the national average, and also that workers needed to staff them cannot afford to live in the city. Greg Dougal is with the Maine Restaurant Owners Association and Maine Innkeepers Association. He says the organization's not disputing that there is a need for more affordable housing in Portland.
We just believe that there are other ways to probably accomplish that. That doesn't mean that a hotel shouldn't be part of the process, but at $5,000 per room, that is, you know, cost prohibitive for many people.
He says the ordinance could hurt growth in the industry, but Portland Planning Director Tuck O'Brien says the city has looked at the numbers and...
The research we've done, the economics we've looked at pretty in-depth, indicate that actually this fee could be a lot higher and still be borne by the industry.
City officials say the fee could apply to roughly 400 hotel rooms expected to be built by 2020. And the Bangor Humane Society says typically at this time of year, the organization takes in a larger than normal number of stray cats and dogs. Executive Director Susan Prendergast says some of the animals may have gotten loose as their owners are engaged in outdoor activities. Others may have run off after being scared by fireworks. The society says people should leave their pets home during the fireworks. Prendergast says in general, pets don't react well to loud booming noises.
Whether it be a thunderstorm or a beautiful fireworks display, I don't think our dogs sit back and go, ooh, look how pretty those lights are. They typically cower and wonder, why is that so loud?
Prendergast says they are recommending that people make sure their pets have identifying microchips or ID tags, so if they do get separated from their owners, they can be brought back as soon as possible. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, July 2nd, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.